Let us pray.
Oh, Father, Son, Holy Spirit, we ask this morning that you would train our hearts to love you and to seek your kingdom more and more. And we ask that you would do this for the glory of Jesus Christ. Amen. When a big company on the stock exchange offers a large amount of new shares to the public for investment, it issues a prospectus. And a prospectus is a legal document. If you ever looked at them, they're pretty boring. But it outlines the expected benefits and risks of the investment and what the directors are planning to do with your money. But although they're legal documents, they're tightly regulated, they're also a bit of a sales puff. And they're trying to convince you to invest your money in that company rather than something else. And so, although it's all in black and white, it's a bit boring. They talk up all the benefits of the investment and they sort of try and tell you why it's going to be such a profitable venture. And last month, it was the 20-year anniversary of the prospectus for the initial public offering of a company called Amazon. You might have heard of them. They're coming to Australia soon. And I looked up the original prospectus from the NASDAQ website, and here's some of what it says. Amazon.com is the leading online retailer of books and has quickly become one of the most widely known and used and cited commerce sites on the World Wide Web. And the World Wide Web, if you're under 30, that's what they used to call the internet. Purchasing books from Amazon.com is more convenient than shopping in a physical bookstore, and Amazon has many economic advantages relative to its competitors and traditional booksellers. So there's the sales puff. You know, does it sound like a good investment to you? Does it sound like a bit of a risk? Well, it was a bit of a risk. They went through the dot-com boom, and you probably would have lost a lot of money. But if you held on to Amazon shares, you'd be now, 20 years later, owning the biggest company in the world that's fast growing and soon to be probably the world's first trillion-dollar company. And if you put $5,000, if you had that spare, into Amazon 20 years ago, when that prospectus was written, today it would be worth over $2.4 million, which isn't a bad return, something like 4,000%. You know, if you'd done that, quite likely it would have been the most profitable move you ever made. And if I was a financial advisor and we had a time machine, I'd advise you go back 20 years and invest. But I wonder what Jesus would advise. We continue this morning looking at the Sermon on the Mount, and we come to its famous section on money. And in a sense, Jesus is offering his prospectus for the kingdom of heaven. And he's calling for his disciples to invest big. And from this passage, we can see three reasons why you should invest big in the kingdom of heaven. And why, in terms of your wealth, as we truly measure wealth, doing so could well be the best move you ever make. So first of all, invest in the kingdom of heaven because it's the only place you can get truly lasting riches. Verse 19. Do not store up for yourselves treasures on earth where moth and rust destroy and where thieves break in and steal. Verse 20. But store up for yourselves treasures in heaven where moth and rust do not destroy and where thieves do not break in and steal. Jesus is pointing out that earthly treasure, money, is fleeting. Earthly treasure, you know, money, wealth, houses, businesses, they're not necessarily bad things. In fact, they're great things. They're great blessings from God. You know, things like having ambition at work or, you know, trying to start a business or all those sort of things, you know, are great blessings to us and to our society. But they're, as treasure, they simply do not last. And yes, you might turn around to Jesus and say, well, I've got mothballs in my closet and I've got rust coating on my car and I've got insurance on my house and contents. But nonetheless, earthly treasures quickly fade. And the joy and the satisfaction which earthly wealth brings, and it does bring joy and it does bring satisfaction, but the satisfaction that they bring is temporary. You know this if you've ever made a big new purchase that you're really happy with. You know, for example, like a new car. If you pick up a new car from the dealer or you know, the guy you bought it from off Gumtree, you know, and it's shiny, it's new, it's great, it's fun to drive, it's heaps better than the old one, you're very happy with it. But that, you know, it happens. That excitement, it, you know, it starts to fade after a week or three, and eventually, you know, if it's a new car, it's going to get its first stone chip or its first scuff, or your kids are going to get in the back of it, and, you know, eventually it's going to get its first mechanical problem, and soon enough, you know, you're driving it around and it just feels like any other car, and, you know, it's just another car that you can't find a park for when you drive down a fountain gate. And also, earthly treasure is not secure. People seem to think it is, you know, like, you know, the phrase safe as houses, or, you know, trusting in our government and our bank to always be there. But I'm a student of economic history, and if you take a cursory glance of the world's economic history, you will know that stock markets collapse, housing bubbles burst, banks fail, pension and super schemes fall over, insurers go bust and don't pay out, and businesses go out of business. And of course, you know, with earthly wealth, you can't take it with you. When you die, your earthly treasure remains on earth. But unlike earthly treasure, heavenly treasure lasts forever. And it brings eternal satisfaction, and it is eternally secure. So if you want true wealth, store up for yourselves treasure in heaven. That's the first reason. But the second reason is much more fundamental. The second reason you should invest in the kingdom of heaven is that doing so will shape you, and it will shape the loves of your heart. I think verse 21 is the key verse of this passage. And honestly, it's one of the most profound things I've ever heard. Jesus says, "For where your treasure is, there your heart will be also." So store up for yourselves treasures in heaven, for where your treasure is, there your heart will be also. Now, think about that. Jesus says your heart follows your treasure. Now, like many things on the Sermon on the Mount, that seems a little upside down. We might think that our treasure follows our heart. You know, like, I desire this house, so I buy it. I love my family, so I invest my time in them. You know, I love God's kingdom, so I give my money to the church. But it's the other way around. Treasure has a transforming effect on your heart. Your heart doesn't have a transforming effect on your treasure. As you put your time and as you invest your money and your energy in something, your heart learns to value it. And your heart learns to desire it more and more. Your heart follows your treasure. And so Jesus wants you to use your time and your money in such a way that your heart will learn to love his kingdom above all else. For where your treasure is, there your heart will be also. And this heart-shaping effect of treasure is also why Jesus' disciples are not to store up for themselves treasures on earth. It's not that we're not to have treasures on earth, it's that we're not to store them up for ourselves. You know, the earthly things are not to be our treasures, because only one thing can take pride of place, can take first place in your heart. Hear the warning in verse 24. No one can serve two masters. Either he will hate the one and love the other, or he will be devoted to the one and despise the other. You cannot serve both God and money. So train your heart to desire the kingdom of heaven by trading off your earthly treasure to invest in heavenly treasure. So, okay, fair enough. But how do we do that exactly? And what is treasure in heaven anyway? Well, treasure in heaven, it's not money, it's not gold, it's not something like that, nor is it doing good works or, you know, being virtuous and pious and holy or something like that. The wealth of God's kingdom is God's people. Treasure in heaven is people in heaven. And how do you get this treasure? You get it when you play a part in God's work of bringing people to Jesus, bringing people into the kingdom of heaven. And you get it when you play a part in God's growing people already in the kingdom into stronger and stronger Christian disciples. Think of it like this, that the treasure in heaven is the eternal joy and the eternal fellowship you will have with that person who you played a small part in their becoming a Christian, or a small part in their growing as a Christian disciple, and then seeing them perfect on that last day when you're both standing before the throne of God, clothed in the glory of Christ, you know, and they turn to you with a little smile and they say, "Thank you for helping me get here." And then you see them again on the next day and the next day and the next day and forever in heaven as you both grow ever more in your fellowship with each other and with God. That is the treasure in heaven. So let us together as the church use our time and our money on earth to invest in the evangelism and discipleship of people and thus store up for ourselves treasure in heaven. And a little bit like earthly investments, with heavenly investments, you want the best bang for your buck. And the best return for this kind of investment is when we pull together our time and our money into the ministries of the local church. Where we are this morning, what we do together as a Berwick Anglican Church, this is the forefront of God's economy. With your time, get involved in the ministries of your local church, Berwick Anglican Church, and take your part in helping in the work of telling people the good news about Jesus and growing people as his disciples. We're all different. We're all different members of the same body. We all have a different role to play. But together, this is what we can do. And, you know, so, commit to coming to church every week so you can be fed by God and that you can build each other up and that you can welcome new people. Get involved with the rosters, the 10-15 roster. We need more people helping in Sunday school. We need more people in morning tea. We need more people in welcoming, more people in Bible reading. Get involved in helping out with things like running our next Alpha course or cooking dinners for it. Get involved in the growth groups. Get involved in the play groups. You know, all these different things and these different ministries that we together do contribute to the work of the local church in evangelizing and discipling people. And if you'd like to invest your time in them, please speak to or email myself or Wayne or contact the office. We'd love to talk to you. I'd love to find out what you're passionate about and love to plug you in to the work of the local church. And with your money, make generous financial giving to the church as part of your worship of God. And The best single way for us doing that is simply via regular, disciplined giving of money through internet banking or through the plate, the offertory plate, to Berwick Anglican Church. Many of us do this, of course, but it's a good thing to kind of thankfully hold your giving of money up to God. And, you know, every so often, maybe once a year or so, just sort of have a quiet time and pray something like, Lord, thank you for all you've given me. You know, how much do you want me to give to the church? How can I grow in my generosity? That's the best single way of getting your money involved in the kingdom of heaven. And a close second is giving regular financial support to our mission partners. If you have a look at the mission board right out there in the foyer, you can see all the mission partners that Berwick Anglican Church supports and the work that they do around the world. And if you're not involved in supporting one of them, you know, maybe have a look at the board while you've got a cup of tea this morning and just pray a short prayer. You know, Lord, would you like me to start investing in one of these mission agencies? Together, our regular committed investment of time and money into the church and its agencies will train our hearts to love God more, and it will join us into the corporate work of the church in building treasure in heaven, which is seeing people in heaven. So that's the second reason. But there is also a third reason to invest in the kingdom of heaven. It will free you from worrying about treasures on earth. When the scriptures record Jesus giving us a command, it's a good idea to listen to him. Have a listen to verse 25. Therefore I tell you, do not worry about your life, what you will eat or drink, about your body, what you will wear. That's a command, do not worry. And when Jesus repeats a command in the scriptures, not once, not twice, but three times, then we should really listen to him. Verse 31. So, do not worry, saying, what shall we eat or drink, or what shall we wear? And verse 34, therefore, do not worry about tomorrow, for tomorrow will worry about itself. Three times in a row, Jesus commands us not to worry about the material necessities of daily life and to rest assured that God will provide for our needs. Now, I don't know about you, but I would love to be able to follow this command truly with my whole heart. It would just be so freeing, and I would be so much happier. But I think this is one of the hardest commands of Jesus to follow. And it's not hard to understand why, because financial worries are everywhere in our society, everywhere in our media. Just take housing, for example. Worrying about house prices is almost a national pastime in Australia now, especially in Melbourne and Sydney. And if you look at the reporting on house prices in the press, you know, they basically hold up a mirror to our anxieties and, you know, what's going on in our thought life when we think about housing. And it's like half the population thinks that, you know, house prices are so high that I am, or at least my kids, are never going to get into the market and we're going to miss out on all this wealth. And then there's the other half of the population, and more these days, they're like, you know, house prices are getting so high that the market's about to crash and I'm going to lose all this wealth. And I think there's a lot of people, or at least a lot of commentators in the press, that like pushing both worries at the same time. And that's just what we're like with housing. You know, then, you know, there's retirement planning, there's education, there's, you know, getting promotions at work, and the rest of it. It consumes a lot of our thought life. This is the second time I've given this sermon today. After the 8:30 service, I was having a chat with a guy who lived through World War II, and when he was a kid, there were weeks where he was literally starving. And we're comparing that to my experience, where I have lived in Australia all my life, and since I've been an adult, this country's never been in recession. Plenty is all I know. And plenty is pretty much all we can remember, many of us. And that's why it's both so amusing and depressing that in a nation as rich as ours, or as rich as it's been for the last 30 years, where few people have any legitimate cause to worry about anything to do with the basic necessities of life, you know, that worries about money just consumes so much of our time and our energy. It's a real burden. And it's kind of a burden of our own making, or at least our sinful hearts making. And let's face it, that includes us in the church. But Jesus commands us, do not worry. And he points out that, you know, the birds, they don't store up for themselves wealth, and yet God feeds them, and they never go hungry. And the lilies of the field, they don't toil away for material wealth, and yet God clothes them splendidly. And so Jesus asks rhetorically, how much more will God care and provide for you, his beloved people? And then Jesus makes us this most wonderful promise in verse 32. For the pagans run after all these things, and your heavenly Father knows that you need them. But seek first his kingdom and his righteousness, and all these things will be given to you as well. Now, this is not a promise that if you seek first the kingdom of heaven and, you know, you put a bit of money in the collection plate when it comes around, that you're also going to get all the riches of this world and never see hardship or anything like that. But it is a promise that God can be trusted to always provide everything that you need to carry out his purposes in his kingdom. It's not necessarily a guarantee that you will personally never have material hardships, because plenty of Christians have and do have had material hardships. But it is a guarantee that if you enter the kingdom of heaven and you follow Jesus, God has your back. If you let go of your earthly time and earthly money and trust God and invest it in the kingdom of heaven, it's a promise that you will not regret it. And it's a promise that you won't need to worry about the necessities of life, because God has promised that he will give them to you, both now on earth as you follow him and do his will, whatever that may be, and forever into eternity in heaven. God will provide. So take up the generous gift of Jesus and enjoy a life not worrying about money. And the way we start to actually do that is also by investing our time and our money into the kingdom of heaven. Because as your heart is more and more trained to desire heavenly treasure, and as you learn again and again, day by day, year by year, that God is a trustworthy provider, you will more and more be able to let go of worry and follow this most wonderful command of Jesus. Investing in the kingdom of heaven is a great privilege, and it's a command of the Lord Jesus Christ. And let's face it, he owns the world's wealth anyway. Everything we give to him, we're simply giving back to what he already has. But investing in the kingdom of heaven is also the most profitable move you'll ever make. The prospectus promises fantastic returns, and the one who issued it is faithful. It's far better than even investing in Amazon 20 years ago. Investing in the kingdom of heaven will build you eternal wealth that will not fade. It will train your heart to love God and to love his kingdom first. And it will help you to be free from worry in this life. To close, I want to read you a quote from pastor and martyred missionary Jim Elliot. He once said that he is no fool who gives what he cannot keep to gain which he cannot lose. So trade off your earthly treasure and invest your time and your money into the work of the church to evangelize and disciple people for Jesus, who will become your treasure in heaven. Amen.